Please turn in your Bibles to the Gospel of John, to the 18th chapter, and we'll be reading from verses 28 through the end of the chapter in John chapter 18. Hear God's word. Then they led Jesus from Caiaphas into the praetorium, and it was early. And they themselves did not enter into the praetorium so that they would not be defiled, but might eat the Passover. Therefore Pilate went out to them and said, "What accusation do you bring against this man?" They answered and said to him, "If this man were not an evildoer, we would not have delivered him to you." So Pilate said to them, "Take him yourself and judge him according to your law." The Jews said to him, "We are not permitted to put him to death, to fulfill the word of Jesus, which he spoke, signifying what kind of death he was about to die." Therefore Pilate entered again into the praetorium and summoned Jesus and said to him, "Are you king of the Jews?" Jesus answered, "Are you saying this on your own initiative, or did others tell you about me?" Pilate answered, "I am not a Jew, am I? Your own nation and chief priests delivered you to me. What have you done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then my servants would be fighting so that I would not be handed over to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not of this realm." Therefore Pilate said to him, "So you are a king?" Jesus answered, "You say correctly that I am a king. For this I have been born, and for this I have come into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice." Pilate said to him, "What is truth?" And when he had said this, he went out again to the Jews and said to them, "I find no guilt in him. But you have a custom that I release someone to you at the Passover. Do you wish then that I release for you the king of the Jews?" So they cried out again, saying, "Not this man, but Barabbas." Now Barabbas was a robber. May God be pleased to bless to us the reading of His word. Amen. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your grace. Thank you for your goodness to us. Thank you that you do desire us to know you and to love you and to follow you. Thank you for Jesus Christ. And thank you, Father, that we have the privilege of testifying to the greatness and goodness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Fill us with your Holy Spirit that we might do just that. And even in the face of opposition from the religious establishment in this world, even in the face of political powers and governmental powers, even in the face of these things, Father, may we be faithful to testify to the truth of Jesus Christ. Grant us your grace and blessing. To this end, we pray in his good name. Amen. Truth comes in many forms and in different packages. In the scientific realm, there are theories developed and hypotheses, and then series of experiments are conducted, and if the data derived from the experiments fall together properly, then the scientists conclude that their hypothesis or their theory is true, and thus they validate the truth. Truth in the Bible does not come to us in this way. Truth in the Bible does not come to us as something which is scientifically verifiable. Proof, as it comes to us in the Bible, proof of the truth is more like the proof that is adduced in the courtroom through testimony. And as the testimony of witnesses is piled up, then we grasp the force of the truth. Jesus Christ came into the world to testify to the truth of God, to the truth of His Father. And as He did so, on many occasions He gave witness and bore witness to this truth, and He performed many miracles to validate this truth. And as we come to our preaching portion this evening, we see that Jesus stands before Pilate and testifies to the truth. He'd already been before Caiaphas testifying to the truth, before the religious establishment and before the governmental establishment and the political establishment. He testifies to the truth. And this is what you and I need to see this evening. Because as Jesus was sent into the world, He Himself says to you and He says to me, I am sending you. As I was sent into the world, I am sending you. And you and I have the obligation and the responsibility to testify to the truth of Jesus Christ. No matter the opposition, no matter the religious, political, or governmental power, we are to testify. You and I must testify to the truth of Christ. As we enter the portion this evening, as I've said, Jesus has already been before Caiaphas. The portion begins at verse 28. Look at that first section with me. Then they led Jesus from Caiaphas into the praetorium, and it was early. And they themselves did not enter into the praetorium, that they would not be defiled, but might eat the Passover. Therefore Pilate went out to them and said, What accusation do you bring against this man? They answered and said to him, If this man were not an evildoer, we would not have delivered him to you. So Pilate said to them, Take him yourselves and judge him according to your law. The Jews said to him, We are not permitted to put anyone to death. To fulfill the word of Jesus, which He spoke, signifying by what kind of death He was about to die. Already before Caiaphas, now sent to Pilate, governor, Roman governor. And the Jews bring him. They're not interested in going into the praetorium, the residence of Pilate. They might defile themselves. Entering the residence of a Gentile would bring ceremonial defilement upon them. They had yet to celebrate the Passover. The previous night, Jesus and the disciples gathered to celebrate their Passover feast. You remember, don't you, that the days were from evening to evening. And so the time for celebrating the Passover was still before the Jews, and they would not defile themselves. So Pilate, condescending to the Jews, goes out from his residence to speak to the Jews. What accusation do you bring against this man? the Jews throw it back in Pilate's face. Who do you think we are? Don't you trust us? We wouldn't have brought him to you were we not convinced he was an evildoer. And so, the confrontation begins. Pilate understands that the Jews want to accuse Jesus of being a rabble-rouser, a revolutionary, an insurrectionist. But it doesn't appear that this is what Jesus actually is. And so Pilate says to them, "Take him yourselves and judge him according to your law." It's a matter that's supposed to be taken care of not in my court, but in your courts. The Jews are not satisfied. They want Jesus crucified. And so they say to Pilate, "We don't have the right to give him the death penalty of crucifixion like you do. We want him crucified." It's ironic, isn't it? They wanted Jesus hung on a cross and displayed as one who was cursed of God so they could say to the people, "Look at him, he's cursed of God, pay no attention to him." And it is ironic, is it not, that Jesus did go to the cross, not for his own faults and sins, but for the faults and sins of the Jews and of other people in the world. And he took the curse of God upon himself. Well, Pilate now goes in to the praetorium to examine Jesus. And then he comes back out. Drop down, if you would, to verse 38 in the text. The middle of verse 38. "And when he had said this, he went out again to the Jews and said to them, 'I find no guilt in him. But you have a custom that I release someone for you at the Passover. Do you wish then that I release for you the king of the Jews?'" Being a little sarcastic, he throws it back at the Jews. And so they cried out, "Not this man, but Barabbas. Not this man, but Barabbas. Bar-Abba, son of a father, son of a human father." They would rather have the son of a human father than the son of God. Amazing. And John adds this little note. Now, Barabbas was a robber. The word actually is Barabbas was a thief. That's the word John uses. And he's thinking back to the 10th chapter. Well, it wasn't the 10th chapter when John wrote it, because those demarcations came later. But he's referring back to the time when Jesus spoke of himself as the good shepherd. The good shepherd who would come into the sheepfold by the doorway. And the thief would come over the wall. The thief. No, don't give us the Son of God, the good shepherd. Give us rather a thief. How amazing this is. Let's examine now the inquisition of Pilate inside the praetorium. Pilate speaks with Jesus. Several questions he puts to the Lord. Verse 31. The Jews, because it was the day... Oops, I'm sorry. Wrong verse, wrong chapter. Verse 33. "Therefore Pilate entered again the praetorium and summoned Jesus and said to him, 'Are you king of the Jews?'" This must have been the basic complaint that the Jews had against Jesus and were presenting to Pilate. That Jesus was making himself out to be their king. Of course, you remember only a few days earlier, he had come into Jerusalem with the singing of the multitudes, and he was riding a donkey in fulfillment of the prophecy of Zechariah. Your king is coming to you on a colt, the foal of a donkey. And there he came. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. He was coming as the king. And the Jews found this repugnant. The Jewish hierarchy, that is. And so they made the accusation against him. Are you king of the Jews? Pilate asks. Jesus answered with another question. Are you saying this on your own initiative, or did others tell you about me? Is this a question you have of me, Pilate, because you're the governor here of the province, the Roman province? Is this a question you have of me because you're a governor and you think I'm an insurrectionist and one who is mounting an insurrection and a rebellion against the government? Is that why you're asking the question? Or are you asking the question for another reason? Did it come to you because someone put this idea in your ear? Well, it turns out that this is the case. That someone else, the Jews particularly, had put this question in the ear of Pilate. Pilate responds with some force. Verse 35, I am not a Jew, am I? I'm not one of you people. I'm not one of your kind. I'm not a part of your religion. I'm not a Jew, am I? Your own nation and the chief priest delivered you to me. You see, it really turns out to be a religious question, a question for the ecclesiastical courts, a question for the Sanhedrin to resolve. But they're not willing. Isn't this interesting and significant? The Sanhedrin is not willing to let things go at the level of their court. They want the government to come in and back them up. I saw a bumper sticker a day or two ago. On one corner, it was church. There's a blue bumper sticker, white letters, church. Other corner, state. In between, keep them separate. I thought to myself when I saw that bumper sticker, you bet, let's keep them separate. Government, keep your paws off the Church of Jesus Christ. That's the problem, is it not? And once the church invites the government in, it's going to be very hard to extricate them. The game is lost. And this is what was happening among the Jews. And so Pilate asks the question at the end of verse 35, what have you done? What have you done, Jesus? Notice how Jesus answers. Jesus goes back to the first question. Are you the king of the Jews? Verse 36. Jesus answered, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then my servants would be fighting so that I would not be handed over to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not of this realm. My kingdom is not like your kingdom or the kingdom of which you are a part, Pilate. My kingdom is not built on the force of power, especially the force of military power. My kingdom is not built on the power of the sword, or to put it in modern terms, the power of the gun. My kingdom is of an entirely different type. You remember Jesus himself exemplified this in the Garden of Gethsemane. When Peter drew his sword and took a swipe at the servant of the high priest and cut off his ear, Jesus said to Peter, "Put your sword back into its scabbard." And he reached out and he healed that severed ear. My kingdom is not of this world. My kingdom is of an entirely different nature. My servants would be fighting so that I would not be handed over to the Jews. You see, my servants would use the power of the sword to protect me so that I would not be arrested if my kingdom were the kind of kingdom you are a part of, Pilate. As it is, my kingdom is not of this realm. My kingdom and my power comes from above. And my kingdom is exercised in the rule and the reign of the Spirit in the hearts of men and women who are changed and volunteer freely to follow me because their hearts are changed by the Spirit. Pilate responds then, "So you are a king. So you are a king." Aha. Jesus answers. "You say," and the New American Standard adds the word correctly. "You say correctly that I am a king, yes. For this I have been born. And for this I have come into the world. I was born to be a king, Pilate. And for this reason, I did come into the world." Jesus had often been called, and he used this title himself, the Son of Man. The Jews did not like this title either, because that title goes back to Daniel 7, and the one like the Son of Man who ascends up to the throne of God and is given dominion and authority and a kingdom. Yes, Jesus Christ is a king. And not just a king. Jesus Christ is the king. "For this I have been born, and for this I have come into the world, to testify to the truth." To testify to the, this was the work of our Lord coming into the world, to testify to the truth. To witness and manifest the truth of God, to testify concerning the truth of God among the people of Israel, to be a witness to the power and the grace and the love of God. That was the work of Jesus Christ. For this I have been born, Jesus says. And everyone who is of the truth hears my voice. Everyone who understands who I am as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, everyone who understands that I am, everyone who knows that, because they have been born again of the Spirit of God and they've been given new hearts by the Spirit of God and they responded and turned to Jesus Christ in faith and repentance. Everyone who knows the truth is of the truth and hears my voice. What a good thing that is. My sheep hear my voice. My sheep hear my voice. Come to me, Jesus says. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. And if you follow Jesus and you hear His voice, you've been born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. You've been changed from the inside to live differently on the outside. That's the idea. And Jesus says, for this reason I was born. For this reason I have come into the world to testify to the truth. And then you have that final question. That final question of Pilate. What is truth? Sounds pretty contemporary, doesn't it? What is truth? I maintain that our culture and our society is becoming more and more like the first century, with its idolatry and relativism and all that took place. What is truth? What is truth? The better question Pilate could have uttered would be this: who is truth? Truth was standing right in front of him. He didn't grasp the truth. He didn't grasp the truth of Christ. And the Jews outside the praetorium, they did not grasp the truth of Christ. They rejected the truth of Christ. What is truth? The truth is, friends, is it not, that Jesus Christ was virgin born? That Jesus Christ lived an absolutely perfect life. That Jesus Christ lived that perfect life in order that He might go to the cross as a perfect sacrifice to pay the penalty due to the sins of people like you and me. This is the truth. The truth is that Jesus Christ rose again from the grave on the third day. The truth is that He ascended into heaven and He sits presently at the right hand of God the Father as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So you are a king, yes. Lord Jesus, you are a king. You are the king. And every government official and every church official is bound to bow before Jesus Christ. Is it not significant, friends? Is it not significant that a large portion of the religious establishment in the United States of America and in other parts of the world reject Jesus Christ as presented in the Bible? The religious establishment. And is it not true that too often in government, right is wrong and wrong is right. The world is topsy-turvy. What is truth? Jesus Christ is the truth, and He is the King. And He is the one to whom you and I owe allegiance. Full, true allegiance. No holds barred allegiance. That's not easy in a world such as ours. It was not easy in a world such as that world in which Jesus stood. The Jews on the outside, the religious establishment in opposition to Him. Inside the praetorium, the government in opposition to Him. Rather willing to please the crowds than to bow to truth. And I submit to you, friends, that God has called you and God has called me to bear witness to the truth of Jesus Christ. No matter the opposition of the religious establishment in the world. No matter the opposition of the political establishment in this world. No matter the opposition of the governmental establishment in this world. How do we do this? We must know Jesus. And we must follow Jesus. And we must be mindful, you and I, that the proof of the pudding is in the multiplicity of witness. I was going to bring a daisy tonight. I forgot my daisy. I guess I could use one of these flowers, but I don't think it would work as well. If I brought my daisy at this point, I was just going to start plucking petals off of my daisy and start eating them. A petal at a time. Actually, daisies aren't too bad. Years ago, I heard a pastor talk about using this illustration. He said he had a congregation of about 500. And as he got to the close of the message, he pulled the daisy out of the bud vase, and he did. He started eating the petals off the daisy. And it was meant to be an object lesson for the congregation. Because he said to the congregation, you know, if you go out in the street and the first person that you meet, you say to him, guess what my pastor did today? He ate a daisy. Those people would say, oh, come on. But then you'd say, wait a minute. And you call a couple of other people in the congregation over. Tell him what our pastor did today. He ate a daisy. And pretty soon, after 500 people go out and indicate that the pastor ate the daisy, surely they're going to be convinced, are they not, after 500 eyewitnesses testify to this truth? This pastor connected this to Paul's remarks in 1 Corinthians 15, where Paul said that more than 500 brethren had seen Jesus alive at one time. There is strength in the multiplicity of witness. Jesus Christ stood alone and testified to the truth of God in opposition to the state and to the religious establishment. And you and I must together stand and testify to the truth of Jesus Christ. Now, I'll tell you what. Born again, 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 born again. You are witnesses to the truth of God. You have been made witnesses to the truth of God. And now God is calling you to testify to that truth of Jesus Christ. That truth that has changed your life. And as you and I together testify to the truth of God and to the truth of Jesus Christ, the force of that testimony will come home to men and women. And it will come home to men and women because this is God's plan and purpose. And so I say to you, coming off of this text tonight, where Jesus Christ testified to the truth of God in the face of government and in the face of the religious establishment and their opposition, stand, dear brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ. Stand firm in the gospel and testify. And if it is called upon, if you are called upon to testify before government officials, in a court, before a religious establishment that is hostile to you, testify to the truth of God in Jesus Christ. This is what God is calling you and I to do. And so stand firm and do just that. Let's pray together. Father, You're so good to us. We are undeserving. We fail in so many ways. Give us backbones of steel and hearts, oh God, to tell the truth about You in this fallen world. And despite the opposition we may face, and surely we will face it, Father, despite the opposition we face, cause us to be faithful, remembering our Lord and His witness in this world and His work on our behalf. Cause us to be faithful to do Your work. We pray in the good and gracious name of Jesus Christ, who is the only Lord and Savior. Amen.